Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here. And we've been having technical difficulties up to the last second here, but it appears we are streaming. And so I'm going to continue with the show. And of course, this is Bloodlines for April 8th, 2018. And we are 30 seconds into this stream, even though one of the backup sites that is helping us launch these shows, produce these shows, is having difficulty. So we'll see if they crash, we crash. That's the way it works. If they crash, we crash. So we're only as good as our hosting servers. Only as good as our hosting servers. So welcome, folks. I just want to really quickly mention, though, I just came back from our Passover feast. First going to Arkansas, and Jim, who is building the trailer park for Christian Identity People, had fallen ill. We were supposed to have it there, and it was so cold and rainy, and the trailer park was a sea of mud, so that we couldn't host it there, and so we just had to abruptly change plans. And Doc Waterman was kind enough to offer his place for the feast. We had a wonderful time. The only good weather we had was the time of the feast. from noon Saturday to 6 p.m. Saturday, it was cold and rainy up to that point. And then the rain promptly began to start falling right at 6 p.m. as we were breaking up. So a wonderful meeting, a lot of new people, Mike from St. Louis, and old faces such as... I'm trying to think of his name now. He's a Catholic living in Flippin. Jack, that's right. Jack from Flippin. Two new people from Flippin and Flippin, Arkansas. So it was a wonderful time we had sharing food stories and a lot of health advice. This is one of the things that happens at our feasts is we share news about health advice. And how to get around the Zionist propaganda machine that is Big Pharma and the health-destroying nature of Big Pharma and the fake news and the fake Jews that populate Big Pharma. And so I found out a lot of things about how to take care, because my concerns lately have been, and as many of you know, I've had a bad back due to a slipped disc many years ago, and the pain from that was getting worse and worse and worse. But since these two feasts, I've been receiving good advice from people, and that is namely healthy fats. And Youngevity, I guess, produces a product. Doc Waterman gave me a product, a cartilage rebuilder, cartilage rebuilding product that I've been putting into my morning coffee. And also Patrick at the Kentucky Feast gave me a concoction that he drinks every morning for his personal health. And he gave me a couple of hits of that stuff. And yesterday, for the very first time in months, I had a pain-free back. I absolutely had a pain-free back. I was moving around like a teenager. Okay. So I want to share all of this health knowledge with you, but today is not the time. I'd have to do a preparation for this. Maybe next Sunday, maybe on Yahweh's Covenant People, we'll see when a good time. And maybe we can do it on one-to-one next Saturday, because I really want to share this health advice. Any of you who have bone issues, cartilage issues, bad back, bad shoulder, etc., etc., and one of the things I've been doing is simply taking coconut oil right from the jar into my mouth, swishing it around and swallowing it. This coconut oil helps the connective tissue. But there's other things I've been doing as well, and I can tell you I'm virtually pain-free at the moment. Back in the saddle here at home doing Bloodlines where I want to be, where I want to be. And it was a great fellowship all the way around, both in Arkansas and Kentucky. And we learn a lot from each other at these feasts. Okay, Pastor Steve is doing really well. Of course, he's recovering from open heart surgery 6 months ago. He's doing very well. He's boisterous as ever. He actually needs to slow down a little bit, which the Passover feast is helping him to do. Like myself, Pastor Steve is driven. He overworks himself and needs to rest more. So Passover and Tabernacles are a good way to rest, get some fresh air outdoors, and have fun and enjoy each other's company and tell tales about the Jews and about the unrighteousness of our own people. If only our people would turn back to righteousness, the Jew would not be a problem. So let's continue. This should be the last episode today of, let me inform you that Paul English just informed me that one of our backup servers has been having problems and may affect today's, shouldn't affect the live stream. It isn't affecting the live stream now, but it may affect the pre-recorded shows that will be aired today. And the Andy Carrington Hitchcock show is pre-recorded, so it may be affected. But all of the live shows should run without a hitch today. So that includes including Voice of Christian Israel later on today. So, and hopefully Paul will be able to fix. But if it's one of our backup programs, the ones that we employ to go on the air, then there's not much we can do about that. But at least the problem does not seem to be on our end. That's a good thing. So we're going to talk today and probably the concluding lesson on the 95 Theses against the Antichrist. And I will start with thesis number 91. The lawless one will be revealed. The Australian Jewish News reports the following concerning the 2007 Jewish candidate for the presidency of France. Quote, it is well known that Sarkozy's mother was born to the Mala family, M-A-L-L-A-H, one of the oldest Jewish families of Salonika, Greece. The AJN, the Australian Jewish News, additionally quotes Sarkozy himself stating the following, which clearly illustrates that the new French president recognizes his Jewishness. Now, here's an interesting point. The Jewish publications around the world have no problem telling their Jewish audience of all the various Jews that are in office in various nations around the world. In fact, they brag about this. They absolutely brag about this. So why doesn't the Jewish press, and all of our press is Jewish, is owned by Jews, Zionist Jews. Why doesn't the Zionist press inform the rest of us? Why don't it inform the rest of us? Well, because we're not supposed to know that there's so many Jews in power. People might get suspicious. So they leave that type of information out of the fake stream media. So the sheeple won't get informed as to who rules over us. And that's the primary reason. They don't want the sheeple to know who rules over us. But yet, if you consult the Jewish press, which is where I get most of my information. That's where I got most of my information for my book, The Great Impersonation. And I simply report facts that I read from Jewish books and Jewish magazines and Jewish articles, etc., etc., admitting that they're not the Israel of the Bible, admitting their Edomite heritage, etc., etc. Okay. So, good morning. I see Oak 991 and Bavaria Man. Why am I thus? Good morning, Swamp Fox. Good morning. The Swamp Fox states, tough times never last. Tough people do. That's a good one. Haven't heard that one before. And Swamp Fox and I were able to have a wonderful discussion in the Arkansas backwoods. It was wonderful having such great fellowship and to share views on politics, religion, and health, which is primarily what goes on at the, and of course, heavy doses of Bible study, which David from Missouri did a wonderful Bible study on comparing the Old Testament and New Testament cross-references. David has been doing yeoman's work comparing the cross-references, showing that the New Testament is all about Israel. All you have to do is cross-references the numerous statements by Paul and Yeshua regarding the Old Testament and showing that the word Gentile has no business being in the Bible. It's a deception, etc., etc. That was an outstanding report, David. If you're listening, thank you very much. And et cetera, et cetera. It was a wonderful teaching. But the thrust of all of our teaching here, yes, we do expose the Jews for the evil vipers they are, but it's like having a parasite in your body. If you had been keeping your body clean by not eating pork, by not getting engaged in the various vices that we do, such as gambling, drugs, pornography, etc., etc. If we didn't engage in all of those things, then the Jew could not prosper. So it's important for us to come out of Babylon, stop buying the so-called goods of the Babylonian system. Yes, and a question from Eber, does David have a website? Yes, he does. I'll see if I can look that up. I'll put it in the in our Skype chat after the show. I don't have time to look that up right now. So, but it's just it's a personal YouTube site that he has. So, you know, I can get that information to you later. And he's got the videos showing his cross reference work on his site. So, and I did a brief interview with him about that a few weeks ago on 1-to-1, and I'll have him back on, and then we can get him back into the Eurofolk Radio fold. So, yes, he does. He Swamp Fox put in www.angloisrael.com. That's the site that David hosts for the pastor. It's very similar to anglosaxonisrael.com. Anglo Israel, which David hosts for another person. Okay. And so that's also a Christian identity website. So thanks for posting that, Swamp Fox. All right. So let's continue with today's thesis. The 95 Theses of Against the Antichrist, Exposing the Jews for the Evil They Do. So, as I just stated, the vast majority of information that I got in writing The Great Impersonation was from Jewish publications admitting everything they do, because they brag about these things to each other. But the vast majority of the sheeple simply aren't interested in how the Jews rule over them because they believe the Jews are God's chosen. So as long as they believe the Jews are God's chosen, they will not investigate the reality of the situation. So quoting the Australian Jewish News, in an interview Nicolas Sarkozy gave in 2004, he expressed an extraordinary understanding of the plight of the Jewish people for a home. Quote, should I remind you the visceral attachment of every Jew to Israel as a second mother homeland? Well, then why don't they go there? That's the question I ask. Why don't they go there? Well, because parasites can't thrive amongst themselves. They have to have a host nation to parasitize. He continues, there is nothing outrageous about it. Every Jew carries within him a fear passed down through generations. That's correct. A fear of being exposed and he knows that if one day he will not feel safe in his country, there will always be a place that would welcome him, and that is Israel. Unquote. Unfortunately, most Jews haven't moved there. It would be so good to have them out. Translation. Jewish criminals need a country that will provide them with sanctuary in order to escape prosecution in the nations in which they commit their crimes. That is Sarkozy's words translated by yours truly. Since Judaism is organized like a banking mafia, the mafia bosses need a hideout when the heat turns up. This is the true purpose of the Israeli state, as Adolf Hitler actually prophesied that it would be a sanctuary for Jewish criminals. It is a haven for the international gangsters on the lam, international Jewish gangsters. This is what the Israeli state is, and it's nothing more than that. It's a sanctuary for Jewish criminals. Our, quote, only ally in the Middle East, unquote, has no extradition treaty with America to enable Americans to prosecute these criminals. And in fact, our presidents routinely pardon them when leaving office. Some ally, Jewish criminals have a safe haven while former Nazis, naturalized American citizens, such as the falsely accused John Demjanjuk, are extradited and forced to stand trial by the Jewish overlords. If only Jews would treat non-Jews with the equanimity that they demand of us. Here's what the prophet Paul, speaking of the second coming, had to say about these people. Quote, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, that is the judgment day and the second coming, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, the apostasia, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, who's revealing that man of sin? Who's revealing the existence of the Talmudic rabbi and Rothschild, if not us here at Eurofolk Radio, who opposeth himself above all that is called God? Because the Jews elevate themselves even above Yahweh, the rabbis teach that Yahweh looks over the shoulder of a rabbi and does not make a decision without first consulting a rabbi. Who opposeth himself above all that is God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Is this not exactly the formula that caused Lucifer to be kicked out of heaven? This is exactly what's going on with the Jewish people, folks. It's arrogance above Yahweh. Paul continues, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already here. In Paul's time, it's been here actually since Eve was seduced by Nahash. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, read the book of Obadiah, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Amen. Thank you very much, Prophet Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. So, we're being told that in these end times, the perfidious Jew will be revealed for all the world to see. And it's thanks to the internet that this is happening. Pastor Dan was just on the show with some pagans explaining the Christian identity point of view, trying to heal the antagonism between the pagans and the Christian identity movement. You know, they falsely believe that we're Judeo-Christians or white people who want to be Jews. No, it's the exact opposite. We're Israelites who reject the Jews because they are not Israel. And so Pastor Dan did a good job upholding our faith and trying to heal the wounds between the white nationalist movement and Christian identity. So might Paul be speaking of the perfidious rabbi of Judaism? The very same rabbi who claims that God waits on his advice? The very same rabbi who teaches that the goyim are less than human? By the way, all non-Jews are goyim. Who is that wicked that Paul is speaking of? Judaism is a religion of gangsters. That's what it is. Judaism is a religion of gangsters. So it feels good to be back in the saddle, folks. Tried to do a couple of shows from out in the woods. Didn't work out too well. We're trying to get that fixed because I definitely want to do on-site interviews, live on-site interviews, as part of Eurofolk Radio's offerings. And so we need to have, I just need to get a microphone that's not subject to the windy conditions that prevailed last Tuesday. That was really awful. And we hadn't had that kind of wind in southern Kentucky for any of our feasts, Passover or Tabernacles. So that was an unusual wind. I looked up at the flags afterwards, and they were blowing briskly. Had to be 25, 30-mile-an-hour winds, which usually in the wooded areas is not a factor, but it was last Tuesday. So we had to cancel the show because of the windy conditions. So I need to get a mic, some kind of setup that's not susceptible to the wind. And so if I want to do live shows outdoors, I'm going to have to get the right equipment. So my apologies for the... Now, we may have... in fact, this happened yesterday as well. We may have brief outages during the live stream, but it has been coming back on. So have patience, and we should be... Again, this is not a Eurofolk Radio issue. It's the streamer that we hire to stream our shows. So it's one of those issues. We can't control that. So, and why am I thus just posted the newest, the new Ensign Christian Assembly, the new Ensign magazine, issue number 104. And you can find that at the front page of Eurofolk Radio. So we're having, we're getting back into the swing of things. And even in the best of times, broadcasting live on the internet is going to be, you know, fraught with problems. So many things have to go right. And they have been going very well for the last 6-7 weeks, last couple of months. Things have been going very smoothly without too many major issues. And so Paul English is working on that as we speak. Oh, and Brother Hebert, by the way, Brother Hebert, the calendars are available. And you can get a copy of the calendar, the Solar Feast Day calendar, by sending a check or money order to ANP, Post Office Box 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. Donation of $20 or more will get you a copy of that calendar. It's so beautiful, people were stealing them. So, and why should, you know... Normally, you wouldn't be happy about people stealing stuff, but when the beautiful graphics in this calendar and the choice of biblical verses that Brother Hebert has chosen to back up the calendar is just absolutely gorgeous. So, you know, please avail yourself of this opportunity. Also, Patrick had delivered two boxes full of shirts, long-sleeve shirts, that say, "The Goyim Know, The Goyim Know," on the back. And then it says, Eurofolkradio.com. And very large letters, "The Goyim Know, The Goyim Know." And on the sleeves, we have the websites, www.eurofolkradio.com and www.anglosaxonisrael.com. And on the front pocket, because these shirts have a pocket, the saying is, our new slogan here, Eurofolk Radio, where truth trumps fake news. Where truth trumps fake news. So people get the message that we're all about exposing fake news. So if you want a T-shirt, it's not a T-shirt, it's a shirt, a long-sleeve shirt. And we have sizes going up to extra, extra large, because we have a lot of fat people in identity, thanks to our horrible diets. Okay, which we're going to try to do something about. So the heavier you are, the more likely you are to have heart problems and all kinds of other ailments, back problems, what have you. So we want to try to help our brothers and sisters overcome these problems. Oak 99 just posted, Goy story, the Goy story. I'll have to look at that after the show. All right, so, and plus, yes, long sleeve. Oh, I want a T-shirt. No, well, we don't. Yes, you could cut the sleeves off. Good idea. All right, so I've been wearing mine. They're very comfy, 100% cotton. 100% cotton. So thank you, Patrick, Brother Patrick of Mississippi, for donating those to Eurofolk Radio. And for a T-shirt, I'm sorry, it's not a T-shirt. It's a long sleeve shirt. Just you can order one from the same address, and we're offering those at $15 per T-shirt as a donation to Eurofolk Radio. But make the check out to ANP, which stands for American National Publishing, Post Office Box 411373, Chicago, Illinois 60641. You can also order those items over at www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, where our PayPal link is still working. They haven't shut us down there yet. And just go to the store and just have to, number one, specify the calendar or the shirt and make the appropriate donation. And don't forget to put your address, your return address, mailing address, in the notes section of the PayPal link. So, yeah, Patrick, you're going to have T-shirts too, all right? People are wanting T-shirts. So let's get back to today's theme. Yes, we're in Chicago, Illinois, 60641. But my plan is to move out of Chicago and get closer and further south, closer and closer to the Ozarks of Arkansas and Missouri, and, of course, the backwoods of Kentucky, three of the most beautiful states, Arkansas, Missouri. Actually, southern Illinois is very beautiful, too. Southern Illinois is more like the Ozarks and Kentucky than it is like northern Illinois. So getting into those hidden areas where we can hide out from Zog. So we'll be posting those links for the T-shirts and the calendar on the front page of Eurofolk Radio. Get that up, that information up there sometime this week. All right, let's get back to our subject here. Thesis number 92, Ashkenazim versus Sephardim. And this is from a website called Ringworm and Radiation, by Barry Chamish, August 19, 2004. Now, you have to understand something about Barry Chamish. He is a gatekeeper. Barry Chamish makes a lot of anti-Zionist noise, but he is 100% Jew. He is 100% Talmud. He is one of their cronies. But his purpose is to pretend to agitate against the Zionist state. He pretends to be pro-Palestinian, to have sympathy for all those oppressed people in Palestine, those who've been ethnically cleansed by the invading Jews. So, but it's all pretense, folks. Cannot take Barry Chamish seriously whatsoever. When pushed up against the wall, he is very much a Zionist. He is very much a Talmudic Jew, and he promotes the Holocaust, etc., etc. So just like Alex Jones, you cannot trust Barry Chamish, nor can you trust Rush Limburger or Sean Hannity or any of those apologists for the Zionist state, because that's what Barry Chamish is. Nevertheless, in order to convince people that he is not just posturing, in order to convince people that he is really an anti-Zionist, he will make and presentations that expose things we wouldn't normally hear from a Jew. So this is Barry Chamish, August 19, 2004. On August 14th at 9 p.m., Israel's Channel 10 televised screened a documentary film which exposes the ugliest secret of Israel's Labor Party founders: the deliberate mass radiation poisoning of nearly all Sephardi youths of a generation. Now, there's no love lost between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. Because the Sephardim go back 2,000 years, because the Sephardim are the Edomites that lived alongside the true Judah people in Palestine when Yahshua walked the earth. And for about 100 years previous, it was the Sephardim who are the descendants of the Edomites that converted to, actually they didn't convert to Mosaism. They actually wound up creating the religion called Judaism. And so they've been masquerading as Israel ever since. So this whole idea, this charade of posing as Israel, began with the Sephardic Jews. And it was one of our kings, John Hyrcanus, who made the mistake of circumcising these Edomites, which is a violation of Yahweh's law. By the way, Pastor Steve will be back next Sunday, and we will start a series on 1 and 2 Maccabees, in which it is very clearly stated that the Israelites refused to circumcise non-Israelite males of any other nation, and that includes the Greeks. So why did John Hyrcanus do so? Well, because he was paid by Antipater, the father of Herod, the Edomite. Both of those gentlemen were Edomites. And Antipater was a very wealthy man who even bribed Julius Caesar to install his son Herod as governor over the kingdom of Judah, when after Herod had assassinated all of the true Judahite kings and assassinated the true Judahite Sanhedrin and replaced them with Edomites and traitors, kind of like the Democrats are traitors to America, have been working with the Jews since the days of Woodrow Wilson. So this is how you have to see it. And so the Israeli state is no more Israel, true Israel, than Federal Express is federal. Okay? So nevertheless, the Ashkenazim have a, how should you put it, a envy, for lack of a better word, an envy of the Sephardim, because the Sephardim were actually in Palestine, or their ancestors were actually in Palestine 2,000 years ago, where the Ashkenazim converted to Judaism around 740 AD, none of whose ancestors ever set foot in Palestine until they invaded it militarily in the 20th century. But nevertheless, Barry Chamish is exposing what the Ashkenazim did to Sephardic children. Quote, the ringworm children, translated in Hebrew as 100,000 rays, directed by David Belhassen and Asher Himayas, recently won the prize for best documentary at the Haifa International Film Festival, and in the past year has made the rounds of Jewish and Israeli film festivals around the world. Now, why hasn't this film been available to the Goyim? Why hasn't ABC, CBS, NBC showed this film to the rest of us? Because they don't want us to know how badly Jews treat each other. He continues, but it had yet to come to Israeli television screens. The subject is the mass irradiation of hundreds of thousands of young Israeli immigrants from Middle Eastern countries, Sephardim, as they are called today. The story goes like this. In 1951, the Director General of the Israeli Health Ministry, Dr. Chaim Sheba, flew to America and returned with 7 X-ray machines supplied to him by the American Army, probably arranged for by the Zionists here in America and given free to Dr. Sheba. They were to be used in a mass atomic experiment with an entire generation of Sephardi youths to be used as guinea pigs. By the way, John F. Kennedy refused to give away any more of America's nuclear secrets. And David Ben-Gurion was so infuriated by that that he ordered a hit on JFK and promptly resigned as Prime Minister of Israel. And so you can bet your bottom dollar that David Ben-Gurion ordered the hit on JFK. Let's continue. Every Sephardi child was to be given 35,000 times the maximum dose of X-rays through his head. For doing so, the American government paid the Israeli government 300 million Israeli liras a year. Now, wait a minute. Well, wait a minute. We give them the X-ray equipment for free, and then we pay them to do the experiments? No, it's not that simple, Mr. Chamish. It's the AIPAC, ADL, B'nai B'rith, and other Jewish agencies in America that financed this and arranged this whole deal. So don't be blaming America. See, this is what Barry Chamish does. He turns the tables and blames America instead of the Israelis here in America who are pulling the strings behind the scenes. See, you cannot know, ladies and gentlemen, the sheeple, otherwise known as the Goyim, are not permitted to know that the Jews pull the strings in all of these activities, force America to go to war, promote big pharma, promote economic slavery, etc. This is all Jews doing, folks. Barry Chamish does not reveal these things, but what he does is he blames it on America. So forget about the tail wagging the dog. Barry Chamish, his whole spiel is to blame the dog, America, as if we're forcing the Jews to do experiments on each other. I don't think so, Barry. You're just a shill. The entire health budget was 60 million liras. The money paid by the Americans is equivalent to billions of dollars today. Mr. Chamish, if you were a truth teller, you would tell the story of AIPAC, ADL, and all the other Jewish agencies here in America that arranged for this. But, of course, Barry Chamish will never go there. To fool the parents of the victims, the children were taken away on school trips, and their parents were later told the X-rays were a treatment for the scourge of scalpel ringworm. 6,000 of the children died shortly after their doses were given, while many of the rest developed cancers that killed thousands over time and are still killing them now. While living, the victims suffered from disorders such as epilepsy, amnesia, Alzheimer's disease, chronic headaches, and psychosis. Does any of this conjure up images of Nazi Germany and the supposed experiments the Germans were conducting on Jews? Who's the Nazi now, Mr. Chamish? But of course, Mr. Chamish doesn't go there. That is the subject of the documentary In Cold Terms. It is another matter to see the victims on the screen, to watch the Moroccan lady describe what getting 35,000 times the dose of allowable X-rays in her head feels like. Quote, I screamed to make the headache go away, make the headache go away, make the headache go away, but it never went away, unquote. See, this is what Jewish torturers do to people, even their own. But of course, a Moroccan lady cannot possibly be an Israelite, but she can be a Jew. And if she's a Sephardic Jew, then the Ashkenazim don't give a damn about her. But the Ashkenazim don't even give a damn about each other. They will use and exploit each other to make a point for headlines for propaganda purposes. And the Oberjuden will kill the Unterjuden and sacrifice them and blame it on us. This is what they do all the time. So here, Barry Chamish is blaming us. You see how the propaganda works, folks? To watch the bearded man walk hunched down the street, I'm in my 50s and everyone thinks I'm in my 70s. I have to stoop when I walk so I won't fall over. They took my youth away with those x-rays, unquote. So at least he's telling us the story, which we weren't given in the fake stream media. But of course, Jews can talk to each other about these things, but don't you dare reveal these things to the Goyim. This is what we're dealing with when we're dealing with Jews. They're very open and straightforward. I mean, Jews criticize each other in their own media all the time. But if you're a Goyim, don't you dare criticize the Jews. You'll be an anti-Semite. To watch the old lady who administered the doses of to thousands of children, quote, they brought them in lines. First, their heads were shaved. Oh, Auschwitz! Auschwitz! They shaved their heads. Did they take the gold fillings out of their teeth, too? Did they make lampshades out of their hair? Did they sell their hair on the open market for wigs? I'll bet they did. First, their heads were shaved and smeared in burning gel. Then a ball was put between their legs, and the children were ordered not to drop it so they wouldn't move. Well, was it a bowling ball? Was it a balloon? The children weren't protected over the rest of their bodies. There were no lead vests for them. I was told I was doing good by helping to remove ringworm. If I knew what dangers the children were facing, I would never have cooperated. Never, so says the old lady. Now, wait a minute. Is it possible for an x-ray technician not to know this? That 35,000 times more than the usual dose wouldn't harm the person? Come on, come on, come on, lady. Barry Chambers continues, because the whole body was exposed to the rays, the genetic makeup of the children was often altered. And because they're Jews, it was pretty bad anyway, affecting the next generation if they lived long enough to have offspring. We watched the woman with distorted face explain, quote, all three of my children have the same cancers my family suffered. Are you going to tell me that's a coincidence, unquote? Well, you know what the Jews do. Deny, deny, deny. There's no link between autism and vaccination. Deny, deny, deny. This is what the Jews always do. I'm going to quickly post the link because you really need to read this, folks. I'm on thesis 92. Let me double check. Go back here. This is the Barry Chamish expose. Yes, thesis number 92. And if you can, you can print out these articles that I have listed. You can, well, actually, I was going to say cut and paste, but Michael, my webmaster here, has put coloring in, which is very hard to get rid of. So if you try to cut and paste from here, but you can get these articles elsewhere. You can read these articles from this document, 95 Theses Against the Antichrist, and just copy the title and put it in your browser, and usually this will come up. So again, the title of this article is Ringworm and Radiation. It's thesis number 92, Ashkenazim versus Sephardim. But you have to ask all kinds of questions as you're reading here. You know, what's Barry Chamish leaving out? And this is typical of all Jewish fake news. Anything put out by Jews. Jews news is fake news. Period. Jews news is fake news. But they will be exceptionally revealing to one another in their Hebrew language or Yiddish language publication, which are not intended for us Goyim to read. So, and then you always have to read between the lines because Barry Chamish here is blaming America for what these Jews do to each other. Come on, Mr. Chamish. You need a real swift kick in the behind. But of course, he's nothing but a shill, an apologist for the Jews. So even with his so-called exposés, this is simply done by Mr. Chamish to gain credibility among liberals, American and European liberals, so he can posture as a true opponent of Zionism. That's all Chamish is. He's posturing. That's all he's doing. So, let's continue. The majority of the victims were Moroccan because they were the most numerous of the Sephardi immigrants. Now, the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a false statement. First of all, there's no such thing as a Moroccan Israelite. The Moroccans converted to Judaism much later in history. The word Sephardic stems back from the Old Testament, the Sepharvaim, who were the Edomites and the non-Israelite people from Babylon who converted to Judaism, not to Mosaism, but converted to Judaism and proceeded to develop Judaism up until the modern era. So these Moroccan Jews have been in existence since the expulsion of the Jews from Jerusalem by Titus, the Roman general. Because what many of these Sephardic Jews did was they migrated overland across the northern face of Africa along the Mediterranean basin. And so some of them settled in Morocco, some of them settled in Italy or Sicily, and some of them settled in the east. Some of them even settled in the Byzantium kingdom. And many of them settled in what ultimately became the Muslim nations. And they lived among these Muslims, and then, of course, in Spain. And so many of these Jews lived among the Moors in northern Africa and invaded Spain with the Moors. In fact, they financed the Moorish invasion of Spain against Catholic Spain. So these are how the Moroccan Jews came to be, all right? So he's insinuating that this is only a very recent development. And in fact, when you ask a Jew, well, what's a Sephardic Jew? Well, it's a Spanish Jew. No, it's not. A Sephardic Jew is an Edomite Jew, period. That's what it is. Continuing. The generation that was poisoned became the country's perpetual poor and criminal class. It didn't make sense. What, that they should become a criminal class or that they should be X-rayed? The Moroccans who fled to France became prosperous and highly educated. They were definitely not Israelites. These Moroccan Jews cannot possibly be Israelites. Shall not come a mamzer into the congregation of Yahweh, Deuteronomy 4:42. I'm sorry, 4, verse 2. The common explanation was that France got the rich, thus the smart ones. The real explanation is that every French Moroccan child didn't have his brain cells fried with gamma rays. Maybe they saw what was happening. Oh, this is not a movie set for a horror movie. This is really happening. Get out of Morocco. The film made it perfectly plain that this operation was no accident. The dangers of X-rays had been known for over 40 years. We read the official guidelines for X-ray treatment in 1952. The maximum dose to be given a child in Israel was 0.5 rad. There was no mistake made. The children were deliberately poisoned. But don't blame America, Mr. Chamish. Blame your own fellow Jews. David Derry, D-E-R-I, makes the point that only Sephardi children received the X-rays. Quote, I was in class, and the men who came to take us on a tour, they asked our names. The Ashkenazi children were told to return to their seats. The dark children were put on the bus. Unquote. No racism among Jews, is there? Isn't this an incredible story, ladies and gentlemen? The Jews are the most racist, xenophobic people on the earth, and supremacist. This is the reality. Folks, that's why we're here at Eurofolk Radio, to explain these things to you and destroy the myth that the Jews are God's chosen. It's a 2,000-year-old lie, and they are the most evil, vile people on the face of the earth. They even treat each other that way. One more sentence from Barry Chamish's article here. The film presents a historian who first gives a potted history of the eugenics movement. By the way, the lady who started the feminist movement in America was a eugenicist. But the feminists will never point that out because that makes her too easy to compare with Adolf Hitler, don't you know? She gives Adolf Hitler a bad name. Continuing, in a later soundbite, he declares that the ringworm operation was a eugenics program aimed at weeding out the perceived weak strains of society. Oh, no. How much weaker does it get than multiracial Jews? So even Jews want to weed out the weaker strains of Jewry. Amazing, folks. Amazing. The Moroccan lady is back on the screen. Quote, it was a Holocaust. A Sephardi Holocaust. And what I want to know is why no one stood up to stop it, unquote. Why? Because Jews are Jews, and they don't have any. Do snakes care for one another? No, they will kill each other and eat each other if there is nothing else to eat. That's how you have to look at Jews. They are no better. Okay, Bavarian Man says he's getting the silent treatment. You may have to refresh. Appears everybody else in the chat room is still receiving our signal. So I have no choice but to keep on going anyway, as this recording will be made available later on. All right, so let's continue. Thesis number 93. We're almost to the end, folks. Jews for Jesus. That's a real knee slapper, folks. Jews for Jesus. Judaism is based on hatred of Jesus Christ and hatred of Christianity, and all that Judaism is concerned with is the destruction of Christianity and the white people who follow it in any way, shape, or form. But in order to maintain the pretense that Jesus was a Jew, they created this organization called Jews for Jesus, which does not in any way, shape, or form honor Yahshua as the Messiah. They still tell their Christian audiences that they're still waiting for their Messiah. But Jesus was a nice guy. He tried, but the Jews killed him anyway. Thesis 93. There are two types of Messianic Jews. One group rejects the first advent of Jesus Christ. Since they reject Jesus, they are still waiting for the first advent of the Jewish Messiah. The other group claims to accept Jesus as the Messiah, but not on the terms of the New Testament. You have to understand this, ladies and gentlemen. These fake groups called Jews for Jesus do not accept Yahshua Messiah. They simply do not accept him. They will hem and haw, and if you press them up against the wall, push their shoulders real hard against the wall, and ask them eyeball to eyeball, is Jesus Christ the Messiah of the Bible? And they will probably faint. You will never get a straight answer from a Jew. Jews for Jesus is just such a group. They claim to accept Jesus as the Messiah, but what they really do is present a completely fictitious picture of Jesus as a Judaism-practicing Jew. They present a Jesus that never existed, a Jesus who wants to merge Judaism, the religion of the Antichrist, with Christianity. Being abysmally ignorant of both Judaism and the New Testament, accommodating Christians fall for this Jewish con game. Gullible Christians who fall for this ruse have never read the Messiah's scathing denunciation of the Pharisaic religion, its leaders, and its traditions. Christ said to the scribes and Pharisees, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Matthew 23:33. John the Baptist even refused to baptize them because he knew they were just a bunch of pompous hypocrites. Matthew 3:5-10. How's that for your God loves everybody Christians? Surely you realize that hypocrites don't go to heaven. There is another place reserved for them, where no doubt they will receive a warm welcome. Thesis number 94. True Israel will obey Yahweh's voice. Now, in this article, I used the common language of the Judeo-Christian, you know, using the word God and Jesus, because this was intended for the goyim, the sheeple, to read and wake them up about the Jews so they understand what the Jews really are. Thesis number 94, true Israel will obey God's voice, and that is us, the white Anglo-Saxon Israelites of the world. Why do the Jews, and that includes all the Caucasian people, because all 12 tribes that existed in 745 BC ultimately crossed the Caucasus Mountains and populated and created the European nation states. We also have the Cymru, also known as the Welsh, and others who migrated by sea just before the captivity of Israel by the Assyrians and migrated to the west by ship. Most of them landed in Wales, but also in other places. So those are also Israelites of Europe. And way back in 1500 BC, Zerah, Judah, and Dan, and Gad, most assuredly all three of those tribes, did not want to be slaves in Egypt, so they built reed boats, sailed across the Mediterranean to where they founded Rome, the Peloponnesus, Troy, actually France, Spain, Ireland, and Britain. These are your Celtic Christians. They were Israelites from the very first migration from Egypt, dating all the way back to 1500 BC. And the original inhabitants of Ireland were known as the Tuatha De Danann, meaning the tribe of Dan. So we have done all this research, and this is why we're here at Eurofolk Radio, is to inform the sheeple of true history, not Jewish fables. Didn't Paul warn us about Jewish fables? But of course, the Judeo-Christian ministry, so-called, does not inform their sheeple about Paul's teachings. They simply invent this universalism that supposedly Paul teaches, which he does not teach. Let's continue. Why do the Jews consistently violate Genesis 22:18? Quote, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Again, that's Genesis 22:18. Has any nation on the face of the earth been blessed by the presence of the Jews? This is a question you have to ask. And ask, does this fulfill Genesis 22:18? But the Jews do not obey his voice, only that of the rabbis and their Talmudic hypocrisy. And wherever they have gone, they have become a taunt and a curse, because they spitefully and shamelessly exploit the nations in which they live. Every European country is fully aware of this. That's why they have been kicked out of those European nations over 100 times. If the Jews are a blessing, why have they been expelled from one country after another? If the Jews had been a blessing by keeping God's law, they would never have been expelled from any Christian country. The record speaks for itself. Queen Isabella expelled the Jewish Muranos for their hypocrisy and exploitation of honest Christians. When a culture of deceit invades an honest, honor-practicing society, the deceivers eventually take over unless someone puts a stop to their rackets and vices. Historically, virtually every Christian nation has found it necessary to expel the Jews for their deceptive practices. America will be the next nation to be forced into this decision. By the way, I was asked by someone, a Eurofolk Radio listener, because Doc Waterman and I used to do a lot of shows about Cliff High and his analyses. In one of Cliff High's presentations, he stated that the Jews, and I believe Cliff High is even Jewish himself, but he's no member of Christian Identity, and he's no white nationalist. But even Cliff High stated in one of his reports, the Webbot report, that the Jews will be very uncomfortable in America and will be deciding to leave in great numbers. And I sure hope that's accurate forecasting by Cliff High. That would be a truly momentous occasion. So there really is no other solution to America's problems. One good thing that Trump is doing, whether it's all show and tell, but no delivery. You know, he's put the National Guard on the Mexican border. We'll see if that stops anything. But even Trump's tough talk has reduced the number of illegal aliens coming in from the border. And has Trump put an end to Obama's ferrying of Somalian blacks into American cities in the middle of the night in jumbo jets? I haven't looked into that. That's a good question. So if at least Trump is talking the right talk and he's doing some piecemeal things, but the reality is that all immigration must stop, except white immigration into America. And ultimately, all non-whites must be expelled from America because all of their presence is a total violation of the U.S. Constitution. The very first immigration law passed by the Founding Fathers right after, just 1 or 2 years after the Constitution was completed, was that only white people can become citizens. Only tax-paying, land-owning white people can become citizens. And some of the states actually allowed women to be voters because they were tax-paying landowners. Many white widows became tax-paying landowners and therefore were allowed to vote. This is even well before the women's suffrage movement. So we see here that given a true understanding of our history, that there's no way a non-white can be a citizen of America. And it's the Jews who sponsored the so-called Civil Rights Act and the changes in our immigration laws so that America could be Judaized and multiculturalized and communized, etc., etc., etc. The Jews are definitely behind all of this, as we in Identity know, and as what most white nationalists know. But the white nationalists are still fooled by the Jewish lies, by the Jewish claim that they are Israel. Let's continue. Thesis number 95, Shemites, Edomites, and Khazars. Now, this is the racial nitty-gritty, folks, the racial nitty-gritty. Confucius say, when words lose their meaning, people will lose their liberty. Wow. Confucius was actually a white guy. Most people know that. So was Buddha. Buddha was a white man, a descendant of Ezekiel's uncle, Buzai. Yes, Buddha was a descendant of Buzai, the Israelite. He just started his own religion. Even the Chinese Buddhists will admit that the original Buddha was, in fact, a white man. All those statues of fat little Orientals, no, that's not Buddha, folks. Buddha was a white man. And I have an article explaining that, the true history of the founder of Buddhism, over at anglo-saxonisrael.com. Buddha was a white man. The very word anti-Semitism is, let me repeat this. This is so good. When words lose their meaning, people will lose their liberty. There must have been Jews in his day as well. The very word anti-Semitism is deceptive because the Jewish people are not Shemites. True Israelites are the direct descendants of Shem. As explained earlier in Theses 8 and 50, the first Jews were those of Idumean stock who merged with the people of Judah beginning in the year 150 BC. I have since updated this to about 121 BC because I have, doing more research, found out that the very first circumcision under John Hyrcanus of Edomites occurred in that year, 121 BC. These people were Edomites, and they were previously known as Canaanites. The Pharisaic priesthood derives from these Edomites. At best, these Edomite Jews can be considered partial half-breeds, at best. But since no Mamzers, mongrels, are permitted in the congregation of Yahweh, Deuteronomy 23:2, no Edomites qualify. These Edomite Jews are today known as the Sephardic branch of Jewry. The word Sephardic derives from Mount Sephar, which was an ancient Canaanite stronghold. Since the Edomite branch of Jewry is of Canaanite origin, the term Sephardic is most apt. This is why the Jews falsely claim that Sephardic Jews are Spanish Jews. They don't want you to know of their non-Israelite origin. It is a simple matter of categorization that only lineal descendants of any tribe of Israel can be counted as literal descendants. Okay? Only real descendants can be counted as literal descendants. Abraham was promised that his direct descendants and those after him, after them, namely in straight lineal line descent and no other people, can be counted as the covenant people. Therefore, the Jews simply do not qualify. They are not descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are descendants of Esau, Edom, and Canaanites, and Kenites, and probably a few animals thrown in there, and certainly black blood and Mongol blood and Chinese blood, etc. Because a Jew can be a person of any shade, color, skin, race, what have you. There is no such thing as a pure-blooded Jew. They are all mongrels, every last one of them. That's why the Jews promote mongrelization of the white race, because they want us to be like them. This is biblical law. In the Bible, descent is patriarchal, not matriarchal. The Anglo-Saxon tradition is to name our children after the father, and descent is reckoned through the father in keeping with our Israelite heritage. The Jews, however, deviate from this biblical tradition, having created their own tradition by which Jewishness, which you should know by now is not the same thing as being an Israelite or a Judahite, is determined by having a Jewish mother. Since the Jews claim to be the people of the book, why this major deviation from the law? The Bible does not authorize this change, but the rabbis do. Okay? The rabbis do. But Moses does not. Clan Fiderian says, the original Buddha was not a fat little Chinaman. Thank you very much. Okay, I guess this is thanks for putting that in there. Apparently somebody reposted my article and put it on in this Google.com. So that's very good. All right, and actually the Ensign Message is one of the few articles of mine published by the Ensign Message because it's a British Israel publication. And they're very much opposed to Seed Line. And thanks for putting that link in, YMLS. Thank you very much. Double trouble. So that article has made the rounds in various circles because nothing the Jews write and nothing mainstream media teaches about history is true. It's all fake. It's all fake. Swamp Fox says, remember the old Maytag repairman commercials? He sat around bored because they lasted so long. Companies were proud that products lasted so long. Not anymore. Not anymore. All right, let's continue. Lively chat room. Feels good to be back in the saddle because it was a real struggle on really cold days to try to do a show. So anyway, fortunately, when I was in Arkansas, I was broadcasting from Doc Waterman's office, so that was pretty good. Thank you, Doc Waterman, from the bottom of my heart for, first of all, volunteering to change venues when Jim got sick, because we were planning on meeting at the Yahweh's trailer park, which we're calling Arkadelphia, Arkadelphia Trailer Park, and Jim is setting up a workshop. He's going to be selling fertilizer made from cow poop and chipped cedar with a little lime thrown in so it's not so acidic. And people have been buying his fertilizer and they love it. So we're going to bag it up and sell it. So not only is this going to be a trailer park, it's going to have two big buildings, the Yahweh House, which is going to be our meeting house, and, of course, a workshop so we can produce goods. We're going to use that cedar to make little hobby craft items so we can put people to work, and it will be a haven for Israelites who are having a tough time making it in this world. So they will have a place to live and fellowship with other Identians. So thanks to Jim for putting all this together. And, let me issue a real quick prayer. Sorry to be as a side note. But Father Yahweh, because Brother Jim is working pretty much all by himself on this project, please send us workers to help him, volunteers to help him. They can work for room and board and maybe earn a little pay as well from the products being sold. And so send your angels of protection to Arkadelphia so that Brother Jim is safe, uninjured, not overworked, so he can breathe easy and take time off, because I know how overworked he is. And that's probably why he caught this cold and had to just... When we overwork ourselves, Yahweh sends us a flu bug, because you really have to rest your body. And that's why we have the Sabbath, to rest our bodies and our souls and study scripture. So, Father Yahweh, send your angels to protect Brother Jim and use your guiding hand to put volunteers to work under Jim at Arkadelphia. In the name of your son, Yahshua, we thank you. All right, so let's continue. We're almost done with the 95 Theses. So you must know who the Jews are, and you must know who the real Israelites are to understand anything about the Bible. If you believe the Jews are God's chosen people, Israel, then you're clueless. You're utterly clueless about the Bible. Since Judaism actually harkens back to the glory days of ancient Babylon, could it be that the Pharisee rabbis are actually paying homage to the whore goddess of Babylon, Ishtar? And the Catholic Church, too? Did you enjoy Ishtar Sunday, dear Christian? Here is what the Judahite historian Josephus has to say about this Babylonian connection. Concerning Herod's plot to depose the last rightful Judahite king in the land of Judah, namely John Hyrcanus. Actually, a couple of his sons vied to be his heir, but they were fighting each other. Same old story among our kings, right? Our king's been fighting each other for the last 2,000 years. Accordingly, when Hyrcanus came, full of assurance by the permission of the king of Parthia, and at the expense of the Jews, and the word Jews here is Judeans, because Judea was a mixed multitude kingdom thanks to the presence of Edomites. And in reality, this is at the expense of the Judahites, because everything that befell the house of Judah after this time was negative for Judah and positive for Edomite Jews, who supplied him with money. All right, so who would have supplied Hyrcanus with money? It was Antipater, folks, the Edomite Jew. Herod received him with all possible respect, feigning respect, and gave him the upper place at public meetings and set him above all the rest at feasts, and thereby deceived him. He called him his father, a sniveling, flattering Jew, and endeavored by all the ways possible that he might have no suspicion of any treacherous design against him. This is Herod plotting the overthrow of Hyrcanus, folks. He also did other things in order to secure his government, which yet occasioned a sedition in his own family. Because Jews vie with each other on how to make money over a sedition. Okay? For being cautious how he made any illustrious person, meaning a true Judahite, the high priest of God, he sent for an obscure priest out of Babylon, whose name was Ananelus, and bestowed the high priest upon him. So, folks, here is how the Babylonian priesthood came into the land of Judah. Herod procured a Babylonian priest into Judea and made him high priest. A Babylonian Jew. This is from Antiquities of the Judahites, Book 15, Chapter 2, Paragraph 4. Look it up. It's not the Antiquities of the Jews. It's the Antiquities of the Judahites. Lest I be accused of stereotyping, it is these words of Josephus that paint a picture of Herod as the archetypal, obnoxious, flattering, conniving, patronizing Jew, who uses all of his Ishtar whore wiles in setting up his victim for the kill. The whole plot centers around replacing the rightful Judahite high priest with a Babylonian Ishtar-worshipping pagan by the name of Ananelus. And many of these other, like Annas, were also Babylonian priests. It's amazing how few Judeo-Christian historians are aware of these things. Question for the perceptive reader. Have the Jews changed at all since then? In the William Whiston translation of Josephus, there is this footnote by Whiston concerning the paragraph just quoted above. Here, we have an example of Herod's worldly and profane politics when, by the abuse of his unlawful and usurped power, very well said, to make whom he pleased high priest in the person of Ananelus, he occasioned such disturbances in his kingdom and in his own family as suffered him to enjoy no lasting peace or tranquility ever afterwards, unquote. And indeed, the women of Judah protested daily against Herod to have him removed by the Romans who installed him, because he is not a Judahite. None of your Judeo-Christian ministry will inform you of these things. Why? Because Judeo-Christianity was created by the Jews as a false operation to make you believe that Judaism and Christianity have something in common, which they do not. Absolutely do not. So, folks, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. We have completed this series on the 95 Theses. Next week, Pastor Steve and I we'll start 1st and 2nd Maccabees, something that we have never done before on the air. Okay, hold on 1 minute. I'm looking at the wrong clock. I see we have about 10 minutes left. So let me back up a bit here. And I'm going to just open the folder for the outro music. And fortunately, I saw that the clock. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. And we will play that outro music at 8:59, not 8:49. So let's continue with this document. There's a little more text here for us to follow, which gets to the person of Shem. So he understood, William Whiston understood how evil Herod was, but he himself and most Judeo-Christian scholars don't understand that Herod was not a Judahite, he was an Edomite, and that the Pharisees of this day were Edomites because Herod assassinated the entire Judahite Sanhedrin and replaced them with his cronies, most of whom were Edomites, but some were actually Judahite traitors who he kept on board because they were loyal to him instead of to their own people, Judah. Methinks Whiston does not fully appreciate or understand the pleasure that Canaanites take in chutzpah. Herod understood that there was to be no peace possible for a usurper placed on the throne of a foreign nation. He was fully prepared for the consequences. There was no other way that he could taste the pleasures of such worldly power, so he seized the opportunity and never looked back. The thief must grab at whatever jewel presents itself. And so when the Jew is presented with an opportunity to steal a nation, to steal a people, to steal a country, to steal a religion, it will do so. Shem, son of Noah. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. The Japhethites moved north from Mesopotamia into the steppes of Western Asia. The Hamites moved southwest into Egypt and Ethiopia, founding those two great nations. The Shemites remained in Mesopotamia and founded the Hebrew-Israelite civilization. All three of these homogeneous groups of people, which descended from Noah's three sons, were white Adamites, as both the Bible and the record of archaeology have abundantly proved. None of these people were hook-nosed, receding forehead, crooked-teeth Jews. If you look at the statuary and the coinage of the entire Mesopotamian era, dating back to these days, you will see nothing but Anglo-Saxon Caucasian visages and statuary. No blacks, no hook-nosed Jews honored in such a way. Okay? So this proves the point that they were all white to the last leader and monarch. Now, Herod is the first Edomite in this entire area to take power. This is what I'm trying to convey to you. Herod was the first Edomite. Now, of course, Esau Edom became the leader of the Canaanite people down at Mount Sephar. So, but they were always considered Yahweh's enemy and the enemy of the Israelites, the enemies of true Israel. So it's only by this monumental deceit, this game, which was begun by Herod. Actually, it's all John Hyrcanus' fault. If he hadn't invited Edomites into the nation of Judah, none of this would have happened. Absolutely none of this would have happened. So again, we only have ourselves to blame. When we pollute our bodies, Jews happen. When we pollute our nations, parasitism happens. Jews are literal two-legged parasites who take over the body. Just as autoimmune diseases take over our bodies and give us cravings for what, like candida, is an autoimmune disease. Once it takes over your body, you begin to crave what Candida likes to eat, namely sugar. So if you have an extensive sweet tooth, then you are likely to have Candida. And this disease will plague you until you get rid of it, as the Jews plague our body, Israel, until we get rid of it. How do we get rid of it? Well, we stop feeding it sugar. We stop imbibing Jewish culture. Stop going to Jew-produced movies. Stop gambling. Stop partaking of their pornography and their race, etc., etc. Come out of Babylon. The Bible gives us the cure. But once we're infected by such a disease, demons take over. Alcoholism is another one. Demons take over our body, and we crave what the demon wants. We crave what Candida wants. We crave what the Jew wants. And that's how our white Christian societies become polluted. The Shemites, therefore, are one of the three branches of the Adamic race that descended through Noah. The Bible clearly forbids Adamites from intermarrying with non-Adamites, but it is permissible to intermarry between Adamic family trees. For example, purebred Hamites could marry purebred Shemites, and true Japhethites could marry unmixed Hamites, etc. When such marriages occur, the offspring is counted as a descendant from the father's family. This is how biblical genealogy is determined. This is God's law. It's quite possible that Hagar, Abraham's first wife, was in fact a Hamite. But she was a white Adamic Hamite, not a black African what would you call the brown people of Egypt today? Not a brown Egyptian. No way, no how. This is how biblical genealogy is determined. This is God's law. Any marriages outside of the Adamic race are strictly forbidden by God. Deuteronomy 23:2, Nehemiah 13:3, Hosea 7:8, 1 Kings 8:53, Ezra chapters 9 and 10, Matthew 25:32. Hence, when a Hebrew Israelite marries a Canaanite such as a Hittite, that offspring is outside the pale and can never enter the congregation of Yahweh. That descendant is counted as a Canaanite, not as an Israelite. Nothing could be simpler to understand, yet the Jews have confused and obfuscated this subject of descent by claiming to be Semites, when they are nothing of the kind. I realize that this statement flies in the face of the gospel of race mixing that has become the latest fad of the apostate church of Judeo-Christianity. But this is exactly what Jacob's brother Esau did. He married two Canaanite women of the Hittite tribe, and that is why his parents and Yahweh both disowned him, and that is also why his offspring, the Edomites, cannot be part of the congregation of Yahweh. Understood, Israel? The Baal priests of apostate Judeo-Christianity will not inform you of these facts. They are hoping that you will never read your Bible, because the Bible is very clear about this. Here is what the Bible actually says. Quote, "And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite." Now listen closely, dear befuddled Christian, "which were a grief of mine to Isaac and Rebekah." Genesis 26, 34 through 35, and then Genesis 27 continues the story where Isaac and Rebekah warn Jacob not to commit the sin of Esau. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. Folks, glad to be back in the saddle. And we are going to be back next Sunday. Hopefully the broadcast today go well. Up next is Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. And we'll see you next time.